Our focus scripture this morning is found in the Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter, verses 34 through 35, and it talks about how to be a disciple of Jesus. Then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." The word of God for the people.
Before Sherry could start her first job right out of college, she had to present evidence that she was a United States citizen to her new employer. So she showed up for her first day of work, and she showed up with evidence of her being a United States citizen. She had her driver's license, and she had her birth certificate. Well, the clerk looked at her, and Sherry handed her a driver's license, and the clerk copied down some of the information, and then handed back the driver's license. And then she asked, "And you had another piece?" And Sherry said, "Yes, here's my birth certificate." To which the clerk took the birth certificate, and she's giving it a long look. And Sherry asked her, after an uncomfortably long time, "Excuse me, is there something wrong with my birth certificate?" "Yes, there is," the clerk answered. To which Sherry, with a very worried question, asked, "Well, what could possibly be wrong with my birth certificate?" To which the clerk replied, "I can't find the expiration date." Well, driver's licenses have them, but I guess birth certificates? Mine doesn't. Yours? Sherry, to start a new job, had to present evidence that she was a U.S. citizen. If you were asked to present evidence that you were a Christian, is there enough to show? Is there enough to show that you are? Is there, through certain characteristics, certain evidence, to prove you're living the life of a Christian? I invite you to turn in a Bible to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. We'll begin with verse 34. As Jesus points out these characteristics you're to have in being a Christian. Then Jesus called the crowd to him, along with the disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." This three-part condition of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, of being, we would say today, a saint as well, that's what Jesus is listing here. Now, the three parts, to deny self, to take up one's cross, and to follow Jesus, really, it's one single condition in three parts, not three totally separate things, that you do this, this, and this, and they all come together. Now, first, you are to deny self. And when you deny self, the second one comes naturally, to take up your cross. And then that flows into the third, following Christ. Let me share with you how. That first step, you got to take a first step into anything, whether it's the first step out the door, or the first step in being a disciple of Jesus Christ. The first step is you have to deny yourself. Now, Jesus is not saying here that you have to deny yourself something like, "Roger, to be my disciple, you need to deny yourself eating Oreo cookies." Not saying that. He's also not saying that you have to reject yourself. "Oh, I am worthless. I am terrible. Oh, I'm rejecting myself." He's not saying that. I think we can better understand what Jesus is saying by taking it very literally, what it means to deny self. To deny self, the first word, deny. Deny self, to say no. So to say no to yourself, deny self. And what that means in saying no to yourself, it's that when you have a choice of doing something your way or God's way, whose way should you choose? Thinking about saying no to self. You must say no to every action that is self-seeking. No to being selfish. And in saying no, you're saying yes then to every action that is Christ-like. To every action in which God is leading you. To every action focusing on God's will and not yours. That's to deny yourself. To say no to your selfishness and yes to God. So that's the first step. So when you deny yourself, you sit here and you go, oh, then I need to then take up the cross. That follows nextly. Because when you take up your cross, when you take up the cross of Jesus, it's not actually physically carrying the cross. It's looking at those things that scare you. Looking at those burdens that we place on ourselves. Because let's face it, we put the burdens on ourselves because we try to make us number one. And when we put God as number one, then we see where God is leading us. It's like a hospital visitor who saw a nurse tending to the sores of an AIDS patient. And the visitor said to the nurse, I would not do that for $1 million. To which the nurse responded, neither would I. But I do it for Jesus for nothing. Wow. See the attitude? The nurse denies self. She's more concerned about the patient. Take up your cross. Yeah, you have a disease here and everything, but you know what? I'm following Jesus. I'm using the gifts he's blessed me with. They flow from one to the other to the next. Because when you look at that nurse's actions, to deny self, which led her to taking up the cross, taking that burden of, well, this is what I do for a living, but this is where God is calling me, then follow Jesus. Wouldn't that be what Jesus would have her do? Yes. The denial of self means not focusing on ourselves as an end. What do I get out of it? But a means to an end. What would Jesus have me do? It's the way to the cross. For when we look at that, we see how the cross that we have to bear, the burdens that we have to bear, they're so much easier when we focus on where God's will is instead of what we want. And as verse 35 points it out so well, that as we look at denying ourselves, which forces us to look at our burdens, which we can then surely help God with, and God will help us overcome, or God will help us face, or God will sit there and say, you need to work through that, and it may take time. It's then that allows us to follow Christ. For then Jesus says in verse 35, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. I think that puts it very well, don't you? It also seems seemingly confusing, doesn't it? Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Save and lose. And whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel, Jesus said, will save it. What's that mean? Well, look at it this way. There are certain things in life which are lost by being kept. I know you're thinking lost. Oh, no, I need to go find something. Kind of like Neil preached on last week with lost sheep and lost coin. With these things, you lose them by holding on to them. And you're saved when they're used. Let me explain. If you keep your money in the mattress, look, you've saved this physical money, but you've lost buying power. Think of inflation like we're dealing with. Doesn't buy as much as it used to. You have lost by saving. Or another way of looking at it is with the picture I have for this morning. If you keep milk longer than its expiration date, it loses its effectiveness. It then spoils. It gets rotten. Let me say that again. What Jesus says with that in mind, keeping milk in mind, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. I'm going to save the milk. I'm not going to drink it. I'm just going to save it and let it be there. What's it like 6 months, a year down the road? But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. No, you use the milk. It's a lot like that, isn't it, that Jesus is talking about? For physical life does not go on forever. Each one of us, whether we like it or not, we have an expiration date. Now, with milk, it's printed on the container. This milk was February 17th. I would not want to open it up now. But with people, it's not printed on our foreheads. It's not even printed on our birth certificates. No. But we know we each will have an expiration date of our physical life here on earth. And with milk, if we do not use it before the expiration date, it loses its purpose. And with you, with people, if we do not use ourselves before our expiration date, we lose our purpose. The purpose God has put you on earth for. For there's a reason you're here on this earth at this time. Have been blessed to live this life that is given to you. For if we don't live our purpose, we rot. Just like milk gets rotten. God gives you life to spend, to use, and not to keep bottled up. He gives you life, as Jesus says, whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. God created you to be the best that you can be. And as you learn what the best is that you can be, it's a lifelong project. Then you discover more fully who Jesus is in your life. Today's text shows us the beliefs and actions of a Christian. To deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. That's also the description of a saint. Think of the saints, people you'd call saints in your life. How did they deny themselves to help you? For if they were only focused on themselves, they wouldn't have helped you at all in the situation you think of them as being a saint. They denied themselves. How did they take up their cross, their burdens, to help you with your burdens? They did that for you. How were they then like Jesus, following Christ for you? Those are people we call saints in our lives. And Jesus calls them a disciple of his. How did they lose a part of their life, give of themselves, of their time, give of their witness, give of their service, give of their things that they have, maybe spend money on you to help you? How did they give of their life, give of themselves for you? You have witnessed a saint, a witness, a disciple of Christ. And you can do the same thing. But just like it was up to them to do it or not, it's up to you. We're all familiar with the Peanuts comic strip, I think. Lucy and Linus, that brother and sister combination. Lucy had a chicken bone. It was a wishbone. And she told Linus, we're going to pull this apart. And Linus said, why? And Lucy, being the all-knowing older sister, explain to Linus that if you got the bigger half of the wishbone, any wish you make will come true. And Linus said to her, do I have to say the wish out loud? And Lucy said, of course. If you don't say it out loud, it won't come true. So Lucy went first, of course, and she made her wishes. She said, I wish for 4 new sweaters, a new bike, a new pair of skates, a new dress, and $100. Then it came time for Linus to make his wishes. And he said, I wish for a long life for all my friends. I wish for world peace. I wish for great advancements in medical research. And about that time, Lucy took the wishbone and threw it away, saying, Linus, that's the trouble with you. You're always spoiling everything. Who's really the spoiled one? Who did Lucy focus on? Herself. Who did Linus focus on? Others. What's verse 35 say again? Maybe it's not as confusing this time. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Be like Lucy. But whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. Like a Linus. Who do you know that's like a Lucy? We all know a few people like that. Maybe God's using you to help them become more like a Linus. To be more of a disciple of Jesus Christ. For who do you know who's more like a Linus? You'd also call them a saint. And Jesus would call them a disciple of his. For they're denying themselves, taking up their cross, and following him. Which one of these two are you more like? Lucy or Linus? Or does it depend on the situation? Well, this week, what is one way that you need to be using your life? Not saving it, using it. Using the gifts God has blessed you with. Being out there. Following Jesus. What's one way you need to be doing that for Jesus' sake? So that you may be saved when your expiration date does finally come. Think about that. Look for those opportunities. Because, well, just like with milk, it's good on a lot of things. You're good at a lot of things. And God will present you opportunities to use your life this week and focus on others. Give you opportunities to deny yourself, which will lead you to carrying your cross and burdens and be able to handle them and others. And you will be following Jesus. How will you be open for that? Let us bow our heads for a time of prayer. Ever-present God, each one of us want to be a saint, but there are times when we're not, and that's when you forgive us. There are times when we focus on ourselves over others, and we need forgiveness. There are times when we want you to follow our will, and not us following your will. And these times often come when we're dealing with situations in our life that seem out of our control. So I invite you to lift up a prayer to God for a cross, for a burden you are bearing, and praying for God's direction in that burden. And may we be open to how God will speak to us through his Spirit and through others that we trust. For part of being a saint, part of being a follower of Jesus, is to deny ourselves. And that means to focus on others. So I give you that opportunity now. For each of you know others who need God's help in their life. So I invite you to lift up one or two others and pray how you could help for God's will to be done in their life. And Lord, will we look for ways in which you are calling us? There are many, such as those dealing with the death of a loved one. For we seem to only focus on the death of other people and the death of that they deal with for that week or two following the death, and then we go on with life. Who's someone you know who's had a death in their family or a death of a friend 4 months, 6 months, a year ago? And you could just call up. Deny yourself some time and give them your time. And Lord, who's someone who needs healing, whether it's physical healing, recuperating from a procedure, or they're nervous because of an upcoming operation. Maybe they have a chronic condition and each day are struggling with it, but they're not telling us about it because they're trying to keep it private. But you are calling us to help them, to deny ourselves some of the time to help them. Or those dealing with a mental health situation. Or those who are emotionally crippled and you are calling us to help them to stand up. Or those with spiritual questions. Yes, when we look at others, it forces us to deny ourselves because Our focus is on them, but that's what you call us to do. And whether they're dealing with trials and tribulations personally, or in a family, or a community, such as with the hurricanes and tornadoes this weekend down in the south, you are a God who's there. And not just on the day, but even Hurricane Ian, which happened a month ago, and those who are in the midst of war, and all throughout your world. We pray for your will to be done. For when your will is done, whether it be with something that's happened through natural causes, and when your will being done with elections that are coming up, then the right thing is done. And what is your will? To deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. For when we do that, we learn what a blessing life is. We learn that we are blessed to be here living at this time in this world. So I invite you to lift up a prayer of thanks. Thanks to God for the blessing of your life now. And how God has blessed you. We never do view ourselves as saints. Yet, by having Jesus in your life, others see how God has acted in you. For you are losing your life for Jesus. So I invite you to ask Jesus into your life for a first time or maybe once again through a silent prayer. All these prayers we lift up in the name of our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.